Well, good morning. It is 10:01. I'm Jay Barrett, and you're listening to KDLL Public Radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Listener-supported public radio. Try that now, Terry. Okay, there we go. It is the Kenai Conversation, and we are talking about exchange students and the such. And I had it written down here a minute ago. I'm sorry. Hold on one second here while I look this up. Because I thought this was important. Because I want to get this right. It is AFS. I was going to say something else, and I would have gotten it completely wrong. We have a room full of people, probably more people than have ever been in this room at one time. We could very well be exceeding the fire marshal's rules. Fortunately, the fire chief I know firsthand is in Washington, D.C. this morning. So we're good. Let's introduce everybody who's here. And starting on this end here, hi, what's your name?
I'm Laura Sievert, and I'm a retired teacher from Kenai High School, and I have been volunteering with AFS for a long time. And by the way, AFS stands for American Field Service.
Ah, American Field Service. Okay. And Miss, what's your name there?
I'm Eileen Bryson, and I have been involved with AFS probably for 30 years as a volunteer. And we'll be talking about all the wonderful things about it.
Right. It's okay to move the microphone around. Yeah. What's your name?
I'm Carla Markman. This is my first year involved with AFS, and I am a host mom this year.
Was it Carmen or Carla?
Carla.
Carla. Wow. So this is your first year with it?
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to ask you what you think here in a little bit.
Sounds good.
And what's your name, miss?
I am Zainab Al-Khair. I'm a foreign exchange student from Egypt. I'm 16, and I live with the Barkmans.
Oh, okay. What was your last name?
Abu Al-Khair.
Could you spell that for me?
I know it's so hard to say. It's A B O U E L K H E I R.
All right.
Oh. I'm Nancy Cranston, and I've been a volunteer with AFS since 1986, and I work with Eileen and Laura.
Oh, thank you. How about you, young man?
I'm Faris Kawalde. I'm an exchange student from Jordan, and I live with the Bookies.
Oh, okay. What was your name again?
Faris.
Faris?
Yes.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day
Yes,
Off?
Exactly.
All right. Man, you're the luckiest guy in school.
Yeah, I know that.
And, of course, over here, Mr. Bookie.
My name is Terry Bookie. I am a host parent this year for AFS.
All right. Laura, let me ask you. You can go ahead and move that mic back down. But American Field Service, tell me more about that.
I'm going to let Eileen talk about that.
Okay. Eileen, you can pull the mic all the way down to you. And you can take the headphones off of it.
So American Field Service is the name. And the reason why is because after World War I and World War II, the ambulance drivers or the field service drivers decided there needed to be ways to promote peace. So it began as a volunteer group with exchange students coming from Germany and from United States students going to Germany. That's how it began. And so it's been, I think it's since 1949. It's been a very long time, always nonprofit.
Oh, wow.
And within AFS, there are a couple sort of subsidiaries. One of them is the Kongressbundestag, and that's students from Germany. And that, along the same lines, was formed to promote relations between Germany and the U.S., I think in the 1980s. And then also the YES program. And Zaina and Faris are sponsored through the YES program. And this program was started after September 11th, and it is meant to promote better relations between many countries around the world, that many of them have a predominantly Muslim population, and the United States. So that's been going on since 2001.
And that program is also called the Sponsor Program. And it provides scholarships for the students to come. We'll talk about all the requirements to get there. And it's also funded by the United States State Department. So we are chosen as one of the exchange groups, the AFS group, to be able to have students that come with them.
Does the local group have to apply for funds every year, or?
No. We request students, and then the students come, and they have already been selected. The sponsor program students have been selected, or the YES students. So then they come with a stipend, and there's things that we need to do for them. I think Laura can talk about that a little bit, of what happens when they come, too.
Oh, okay.
The idea behind the YES program is that students get to know the United States, maybe in a different way than we all get to know other countries, maybe through the press, on a more personal level. So we do encourage activities like this one, where you get to talk to a lot of people, the students get to talk to people and just share their culture and get to know U.S. culture.
Mm-hmm. You know, when, 20 years ago or so, I was a reporter in Dillingham, and there was a young man from Japan who was an exchange student there at Dillingham High School. And turns out he was really a natural at basketball. He'd never played it before. He became a star on the team. But that was the culture that he learned. But then he got people doing the tea ceremonies. He introduced all sorts of things. He taught karate. You know, had classes in the schools. It really is an exchange, isn't it? It's not just one way, right?
That's absolutely for sure. It has been a fantastic experience having an exchange student in our house. Ferris here has been wonderful to learn things about his culture and to watch. To watch Ferris interact with members of our community, whether it's when he's in getting a haircut and they're asking him questions about Jordan because they're unfamiliar with the Middle East. You know, going into the grocery store, talking to people, and we've been really fortunate. Ferris here is a great ambassador for his program, both the YES program and for his country in general, just talking about it. And it's really just, it's great to be able to see others be enlightened by people that are out there and maybe get through some stereotypes that they have or predisposed opinions that they have about folks. And then meet somebody and be like, oh wow, this is not what I expected. And I've really appreciated being able to kind of stand from a 10-foot back position and watch Ferris interact with the community which I grew up in. It is fantastic.
Oh yeah, you know, a lot of host parents I've found over the years later travel to the country that their students came from.
Oh, I can see why. Ferris hasn't even left yet, and there's already a draw to visit him in his country, to meet his family, the people who shaped Ferris to be the young man that he is, and to experience his land, you know, in his country like he's experienced ours. You know, we haven't really talked about that yet because I'm not ready to talk about Ferris leaving. That's a sad moment for me, but for sure that's something that's a goal now.
Ferris, I know. Well, I know a couple of things about Jordan, but the one thing I know most about Jordan, like the coolest thing I know about Jordan, is that your queen mother was an American.
What was it?
The queen. She was an American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
King Abdullah?
Yes, that's King Abdullah.
Met her at Disney World, I think.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
So just another piece of information. We also have core students. So there are, right now we have 8 students here on the Kenai Peninsula. And some who aren't on the sponsor program are also core students. So they come, I think we have students from 90 different countries. And in the United States, and the ones that we have right now, we have Egypt, which is Zaina, and we have Jordan, which is Ferris, but we also have someone from Finland, France, Germany, and 2 from Italy, and 1 from Norway. So we've got, and then we have a wonderful dinner, which is one of the reasons why we're here. So on March 25th, we have a gourmet dinner. It's a fundraising dinner, and all the volunteers, students included, siblings and exchange students and parents, make the dinner. And then the students all speak at the dinner, the exchange students. It's really great. We even have a silent auction.
It's
wonderful. 6 o'clock on March 25th.
That's a Sunday.
Sunday.
Two Sundays from now. Zaina, what are you making?
I'm making kofta. It's kind of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're also making dessert, basbousa.
Oh, tell me what's in that.
It's like a cake and half semolina cake. And you can you can add nuts, and you can add coconut. I don't really know how to do that because I'm not a good cooker, so my mom will do that. And so, like, I don't really know, but I love this dessert.
Oh, uh-huh. It sounds a little like couscous. Baklava, maybe? No?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Ferris, what are you making?
I'm making a salad called tabbouleh. And I'm making a dessert called lazy cake.
What's in that?
lazy cake.
Like a box is from Betty Crocker or something?
lazy cake is like a melted chocolate mixed with like condensed milk. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Oh man!
Yes. mix in some animal gross. Crackers, yes. Things like that. It's pretty tasty.
I'm signing up. Where do I get a ticket for this dinner? Yeah. Are you selling tickets for the dinner?
I have tickets with me.
All right. Where do people find these tickets?
Okay, so they are available at Kenai River City Books in Soldotna, and all the exchange host parents have them. And I think if they call the River City Books, they can find out where. And they're very inexpensive. It's a gourmet meal from hors d'oeuvres all the way to desserts, and it's $25. And if you have a student or a child in your family that's 14 or under, it's only $10. And it's in the basement of the Catholic Church. They donate that for us to use
here in Kenai.
In Kenai, yeah.
Wow. How many people can you fit?
Oh, around 150 plus.
I remember going to one there, I don't know, like 15 years ago, and it was just terrific.
This is the 38th annual one.
Wow. Have there ever been children of former exchange students come back here?
My exchange student from New Zealand came back with her mother and father and baby daughter for my daughter's wedding.
Oh.
Our exchange student in Thailand came to Portland, where I live too, and brought his whole family for Christmas. And Luca, our exchange student from Sardinia, came to two of the weddings of my children.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's kind of a permanent relationship. It's wonderful.
I was wondering if exchange students go back to the country, get married, have kids, and then send their kids back. I wonder if that's ever happened.
That has happened.
Oh! Tell us, Nancy. Come on up.
Well, actually, it wasn't an AFS student, but our goddaughter came back after her dad had been here with us in California, and then she came to live with us and went to Kenai High for a year. And she's from Sweden, and now she has four children, and my granddaughter is going to be visiting her soon. But there's an exchange back and forth, even if it's not with a program. We do see each other. And my Costa Rican son was here, came in 2000, and then he's been back several times. And we had another student from Costa Rica. All in all, my late husband and I hosted 6 AFS students, but 2 from Costa Rica. And my daughter and her husband hosted a girl from Costa Rica. So we have lots of ties there. And We've gone down there about 3 times, and we'll be going down there again in January for our the one son's marriage for his wedding.
Oh wow.
You know, something that's interesting is that the students go through a process in order to come as an exchange student. I know Zena has sort of an interesting story about that, how she was chosen. So that might be fun to tell about.
Please tell us.
So they at the beginning, they gave us like a packet, have so much questions, and we have to answer all the questions. And they would be like 3,000 students, and then they choose some of them. And then we have like interview, and then we have like camps, and then we have like test, like an English test and math test. And we also, they like stay with us and we do projects and we talk with us. So I don't really know how they choose us, but I think they like, they talk with us and they think like how we think and how we feel and how we will do it when we go. So they told us they will never send anyone. They think that they will not be able to stay all of this without their parents. And also our GPA have to be more than 3.5 the last 2 years. And they go over a lot of, like, they have, like, they take everyone and talk with them alone to know what he want to do when he go there and what he want to do when he come back. Yeah.
And you said there were only 50 in the end who went?
Yeah, from 3,000, they go down to 50.
Oh, wow. You know, you mentioned your grade point average. I've always been curious. What are your how do your studies differ here at school than they did back home?
I think school is also different because there's so much points different. Like in my school, we have uniform. There's no uniforms here. We don't move classrooms. Like, we have the same classroom all the year and the same desk. The teachers move classrooms. We don't have lockers. You have all your stuff in your bag, but you have, like, a small, like, thing in the desk so you can open it and put your stuff and close the desk again. And I don't think my school is, like, here is not strict as my school. My school is a lot more harder. And...
what about the courses? Are you studying substantially the same sort of things, geometry and
trigonometry? Yeah, everything and history. But I study my history, my country's history, and math, science, like everything. Mm-hmm. We have foreign languages too.
Oh,
I like languages so.
You know, I was curious, what, you know, here in America, we grow up and pretty much all of us only talk English. But overseas, there's folks like you two who learn more than one language, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. It's totally awesome is what I meant to say. But something that I've always wondered about, what language do you choose? I mean, English, sure, but, you know, French is a big language, Japanese, Chinese. They're going to rule the world here pretty soon. Then there's Russian. How many languages do you speak?
I speak Arabic. That's my native language. And English and French. And I'm learning Spanish now.
Wow. No Mandarin?
No.
How about you, Ferris?
Language. Yeah, I speak 2 languages fluently. It's Arabic and English. And I'm learning French. Like, I used to learn French in Jordan. Yeah, I'm going to finish that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can speak a few words in French.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the French and English both have a long history.
Yes.
In both of your areas, don't they? Yeah.
One thing Zaina did not mention was that she goes to a French school. So even though Arabic is her native language, she goes to everything that she's taught, all of her classes are in French.
And she speaks English very well, even though it's her third language, which sometimes she feels like she doesn't do so well, but I feel like she does amazing. And then to learn Spanish as well. And one other thing that I thought was kind of interesting to note, when she first came here, she said that one of the things that excited her the most was that she could choose what she wanted to wear to school, that she didn't have to wear the uniform. However, about a month ago, she came down the stairs. She was getting ready to go to school and said, I don't know what to wear. I wish I was wearing my uniform again, because now I have to decide, does this look nice? How will somebody think I look, you know, where in the school with a uniform, that's, you know, usually not an issue. So interesting how your perspective changes. Right. And her school is a girls' school, no boys. So,
well, now that Zaina, are you dressing for the boys now?
Are you trying to look good? But I have to look nice. Like, my school doesn't have boys, and all my friends, I know them since I was like 7. So I don't really care. And also, we're not moving rooms, so you're standing on your desk all the time. So no one will really see me. But here, you're moving, and there is boys. It's something new for me. So I don't want to look bad. I just want to be nice.
That's awesome.
So another thing that's kind of fun to talk about is to have the students discuss their expectations of what they're going to have when they get here and the surprises they have and maybe the things that are fun and maybe the things that they're still working on. And maybe Ferris could do some of that.
Yeah. Ferris, give us a taste of that. What were you expecting?
I was from Jordan. When I knew I was going to Alaska, I was super excited. I like the nature and like how it is here. And when I came to Alaska, I love it here. It was super nice. The nature, everything, I liked it. The snow is a bit cold for me, but I got used to it. Because, you know, we're not used to this snow and the cold from my country. It's really fun here. Alaska is really nice. I love it.
Have you taken up skiing or anything?
I was planning to practice skiing. I tried it for like a few weeks, but it was cold for me, so I quit skiing. Yeah, but it was nice as well.
You know, that's one of the things for Ferris. It's we came to winter break here for the over the school, and we're like, Ferris asked us towards the end of the winter break, so it's going to start getting green now, right? Because winter break is almost over. We had to break the news to Ferris that winter break is just kind of the midpoint, and now after spring break, it's going to start to get green here, Ferris, okay?
Don't, he's not telling you the truth. It's going to be winter until the end of April.
Yeah.
Man.
You might have some ideas too.
Oh. Also, snow is my, like, it's my big interest before I came here.
Snow was?
Yeah. Because it's Alaska, and all I really know about Alaska was snow. And, you know, all the story types, so snow and igloos and caves and all stuff about snow. And the last week, we went to the cabin in Chill Lake, and we watched the Iditarod. Is it Iditarod?
Uh-huh.
Iditarod. Yes. And it's really cool that you see them. I just know today that today was the last day. They finished in
one person just finished.
It was like 11 days. That's a lot. And also, I saw snow. It was like, snow can pass like my elbows. There was so much snow. It was really cool.
Do you know how long the second Iditarod took?
No.
33 days.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody thinks about that. It was 30.
You don't get bored?
You know, I talked with those mushers, interviewed them before, and several of them were pinned down for a week because of a blizzard, and they had to go trapping to get food for them and their dogs. That was back before they had all these airplanes and satellite tracking and everything. Mm-hmm. Over 30 days. It's crazy.
Yeah, she was talking about we have a cabin on Shell Lake, which is near Squintna. So we saw the dogs come through that checkpoint.
Oh, man.
It's Sunday, the first Sunday on race day.
So, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, did you snow machine up there?
We did.
What was that like?
It was scary at the beginning. It was so bumpy. And I was sitting in the back because I cannot ride. And I was trying to hold as much as I can because I was like jumping. And we rode for like 7 hours, I guess. So
we're not really the go faster type crowd. We it's about 80 miles into our cabin. So we ride on the Yetna River and then through the Shell Hills. And so she was passenging, and it can get to be long, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We stopped a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun.
Wow. So have you driven a snow machine yet?
No, I'm not allowed to. AFS have rules.
Really?
Yeah.
No driving.
No driving.
You know, riding a snow machine isn't really driving. you need to go through the rule book with a fine.
I think my host sister, she fell down one time, so I don't think I will do well if I drive. So.
Yeah. So it's motor vehicles then, basically, yes. Right? So you're not restricted from skateboards or bicycles. No?
I don't think
so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, good. Man. What's your big adventure?
Biggest adventure. I went to the Aditya 2. Yeah, to the watch the ceremony start.
The start, yeah.
Yeah, the start was amazing. I met the senator there, the Alaska senator. Yeah, and
met Senator Murkowski.
Yes. And I talked to her. Yeah, and that was really nice. That was one of the nicest experiences I ever had. Yeah, this world was really nice. The dogs were cute. I love them. I can say this.
You know, going to watching the start of sled dog races is like one of the funnest things there is to do in Alaska. Those dogs are so excited and they're jumping up, you know? And did you notice they had like two sleds hooked up to some of them?
Yes.
That's just to slow them down.
Yeah.
Because they're so excited.
Yeah, when they're about to start, there was two persons. There was two person who were just holding them. They were like really excited to just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I think we have a phone call. Huh. Yeah. You guys want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Let me see if I can do this correctly. You're only going to hear it if you're wearing headphones, though. So only Terry will hear. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. This is Mark Larson, and I know quite a few of these people that I'm listening to.
Oh, hi, Mark. Mark Larson.
And I just wanted to throw in my two cents first. My wife and I were quite involved with the AFS program, not so much at the moment. We've hosted several students, one from Austria and one from Finland, the very first one we had, and we still keep in contact, and we've been over to visit them, and it's just a wonderful opportunity. And then two of our children have been exchange students as well, and one of us went to Norway and one went to Finland. And I'm a retired teacher, and so I sub once in a while, and I've gotten to know Ferris in particular. And I can't remember if I've had any of the young lady in my classes, perhaps. But every time I get to know them or meet an exchange student in any capacity, it's kind of a breath of fresh air and get to talk to them and get different perspectives and every time they're just a wonderful ambassador to their country, and it's just kind of fun to get a different perspective.
Wow. Anybody would like to say hi to Mark here?
Hi, Mark.
I leave.
So it sounds like for you, Mark, it was also a very rewarding experience and really was an exchange as well.
Well, it is, and then we love to travel, and so now then we can go, well, gosh, let's stop them there and swing by there and meet these people or listen and meet the parents as well, and then they always welcome you in the house, and you spend a couple of days with them, and so it has been wonderful. And then I've done an exchange in Japan, and when I was there, I stayed with these people. This is a personal thing, and they've been over. The lady I stayed with, she and her husband have been over here to visit us twice. So it also can help with an adult. And I just wanted to throw out there because so now that I'm involved out at the college a little bit, and there's I think it was Laura that mentioned the Congress Bundestag program, and that is true. And there's also one at the college. And one of the nice things about at the high school level, they live in your home, and so it's a cultural thing. But it's also, they go to school, and they cannot drive. And on the college level, the exchange students, and it's just with Germany as a Congress Bundestag, but they are expected to go to school part time and work part time, and they are expected to buy their own vehicle. So it's a different respect, that they're a little more mature in that respect, and then they are responsible for getting themselves to school and work and back and so forth. But it's still the benefit of getting to know these kids, and they're living with you, and it's a culture experience as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there if anybody, could get involved in an exchange in that way as well.
Wow. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hosting. We are looking for host families right now. We already have students who are going to come from Tanzania and Lebanon, for sure. And we're looking for other host families. And do I give a phone number over the phone?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. So you can contact me. My number is 690-2779. And we got an application that explains... tells a lot about the student and their interests, and then we try to match up the students. And we probably are looking for maybe having five, possibly maximum six this next year.
Let me ask you, how is it determined how many students come to a place? Is it how many host families you get in advance, or?
It's by the volunteers. We had eight this year, and we think maybe six might be a better number. and it's actually... how many host families show interest. So, because we do go by that as well. So,
oh, okay.
So, and we're kind of a small community, and we like to get a student in every school. We have that right now. We have a student, Zainis, from Sohi, so that's why Mark didn't know her. And we have a student from Italy in Nikiski. Elisa is in Nikiski. And we have nobody for Nikiski next year, so we're really looking for a family there too. So...
Wow, I don't understand why all families don't do this.
It's really
I will say the same thing. Since we're talking about host families and things like that, Mrs. Bryson has been fantastic as far as I can say for getting host families. We mentioned it to her back when our 17-year-old was in kindergarten in her class, and every year since then she has gave us a phone call and said, hey, how about this year? This was the year, and the process was really easy. We had to fill out some applications online for background checks and things like that, take some pictures of the home. We got an application to review so we could learn about Ferris. There was evaluations from his school teachers back in Jordan, just lots of different interesting things about him. And the process was really easy. There was... I was nervous about getting into it. That was kind of part of why, maybe not this year, maybe not this year. It was kind of that nerves of what is this going to be like. I will tell you, this is one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. Having this young man sitting beside me be part of my family has been fantastic for us, and we're better and better people for getting to know Ferris and what he has brought to us, and just getting to learn a different culture. I can't speak enough of being a host parent, if somebody has the opportunity and has the ability to bring in a young person into their home and learn from them and show their community this person, I give the greatest of endorsements that I can for this program. It is fantastic.
I would say the same. We've had a very positive experience with Zaina as well. And we were, you know, the same things you mentioned as far as the applications and the paperwork and, you know, telling about your home. But we were also approached specifically because they knew Zaina was a swimmer. And we are a swimming family, not me personally, but my husband has been a competitive swimmer since he was 7. Our 14-year-old daughter is a swimmer, and Zaina is an excellent swimmer as well. She swam for the So High team this year and made a significant contribution to them. She made it to state and placed, I think, was it 3rd or 4th in the
Ephesians?
In state.
Third.
Third in the 500, correct? Or am I wrong on your events?
It was a 400 relay.
Okay, a relay. But she is an
awesome... second in regions in the 500.
Okay, so she can give you the details on that one. But she is an amazing swimmer, and she is still swimming for the club in Soldotna. So that's kind of the connection made with our family. But I've gotten to know her family as well, you know, the opportunities we have through social media and things like that. I've already met her grandma, her cousin, her mother, her father, her sister, her brother. And it's not like they are overly involved. They really, I think, have made a point to step back and let us be the parents and take care of Zaina as we need to here. But it's kind of fun to, you know, message her mother every now and then and talk with her. But Zaina, I can't say enough good about her. She is a hardworking young woman. She's very responsible. She's smart. And I know that whatever she does in life is going to be amazing. And I'm just thankful that she was part of she is part of our family forever, not just this year.
You're getting all misty. You're gonna make me all misty here.
That's me.
They're hugging now.
And we've already been invited to Egypt to visit her family for Christmas next year.
Oh, so. Wow. Let me ask the students here, is there anything that you really, really miss from home? Something that you're like, oh, man.
Food?
Maybe I shouldn't have come. You know, I really miss this one thing from home.
I have never said I really didn't wish I did not come, but I miss food. And maybe I miss my little brother. Because he's like, he always make noise in the house, and now the house is so quiet. I don't really miss my sister because she's 14 and my sister is like, she's still 14, so it's kind of same. So I have a new sister now, but I miss my brother.
Tell me about the food.
The food?
Yeah, what are you missing?
I don't know how to explain that, but there is some food you cannot find here, so, and I'm not a good cooker, as I said, so I cannot do anything, and even I ask my mom, and my mom in Egypt, so my mom here did that, it's not me, so,
Know, I don't know if there's, are there any Middle Eastern restaurants in Anchorage? Are there?
Oh. There is?
There's not Egyptian that I know.
No. Yeah.
There's a great Tibetan place in Spinard, Yak and Yeti. I don't know if that qualifies, but
sometimes I miss my friends too, but I have new friends here, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Ferris? What are you missing from back home?
I miss almost everything there, but I don't like, it's like I miss the food, I miss the weather there, I miss the weather there, but at the same time I don't want to leave it here because I know I'm going to miss my family here, my friends here, and like the school here and everyone here. It's like a situation where you will miss both. Like you were in the middle and you're missing your home, and you, at the same time you're going to miss it here. So it's kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the kind of food you miss?
I miss a dish called mensef, if you ever heard of it.
Nope. Nope. Tell me what's in it.
It's like rice with lamb meat, and then they have like a mix of yogurt, milk and stuff, and you pour it on the rice and meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Xenia does not agree.
Yeah, I don't like this dish.
You know, let me ask you guys this: are there any dietary requirements here that you have that are difficult to meet here in America?
Requirements like what is
that? Religious requirements? You know, I don't know if there are any.
Oh yeah. I mean, it depends if you're religious or not. But like in my religion, you can't eat pork. Yeah, that's it. Just you can't eat pork. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I have the same. Just pork.
Oh, okay.
We're the same religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are there? Is it difficult to? If you are practicing, is it difficult to meet your religious obligations at all?
Here? No. It's easy. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not
so
hard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you guys going to tell your friends when you get back to Jordan and Egypt about Alaskans? I mean, first, let me ask you this. Have you found out the difference between Alaskans and Americans yet?
I mean...
Alaskan and Americans? A little bit. There is some words different, they say. Snow machine, snowmobile.
That's a good one. The word outside?
Yeah.
That means out of state?
Yeah, I got that too.
But what are you guys going to tell your friends back home about the people here, specifically the people?
The people? The people are nice. Alaskan are really nice. I can, like, I would tell them about their, like, daily lifestyle. I can say... like how they spend their free time, how they have fun, like snow machines. I'm going to definitely say, like, tell them about the snow machines. Was sledding. How people sled here. It's really fun. Yeah, how they play with the snow and stuff. Yeah.
Actually, I would like to take all the people I know here back with me, and introduce them there. So I will have both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to just think that only 2 or 3 months and you'll be back and we'd be always missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made a new home here, a new family and new friends. So when you go back, you have your home and family and friends, but you have another home and family and friends here and you're missing them. But you're here, you're missing there. So it's really hard. You cannot get both.
Sure. When you get back and you're hanging out with all your girlfriends and, chatting in one of your special languages, that, you know, maybe in a French club or something, what are you going to tell them about the people here?
I would tell them that these people were so nice to me. They help me and they make the best of me. They didn't want me to leave.
Well, not so much about your host family. I'm talking about the community.
Yeah, the community here.
Okay, wait, I'll make it simpler for you. What are you going to tell your girls about the boys here?
I didn't really talk with so much boys here in school, but they're handsome. Maybe. Not all of them, but... There are some people nice, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
People are nice. Actually, people are different because 3 years ago, I visited the United States, but I went to Washington, D.C., and New York and New Jersey, and people are different here. I don't know how, but they're different. I like here more,
And
it's like more quiet. I don't really like noise in city because I live in a big city. So I really wanted something different here, and I like you here more.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Ferris, I guess I should I should be fair. What do you think of what are you gonna tell your buddies about the girls?
I mean, I don't know. I would say they're pretty. Yeah, they're definitely pretty.
Why don't you just tell them what you were talking to Dexter about
yesterday? putting the kids on the line. Sorry about that. let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of the whole thing here. How many host families could exist? Is that an unlimited number?
Probably 8 was our maximum. We had that. That's just a lot of students to make sure everything is going right. And they each student gets a liaison, and the liaison is also the liaison for the family. So sort of a troubleshooter, and they need to meet or talk with the students and the families once a month. So that helps make sure that if things aren't going well, maybe they can troubleshoot and get that to be better. And so it's a big organization. Laura and Nancy and I are right now the kind of the co-chairs of the whole organization. We love some fresh blood too, so we're looking for other people to kind of help us as well.
And we're always looking for liaisons. If people would like to get involved, maybe not hosting, but you'd like to become involved with a student and a family in the community, being a liaison is a great way to do that.
Wow. So perhaps at this dinner, 2 Sundays from now, maybe people can talk to you guys about this.
We hope so. We hope that they'll talk both if they want to be a host family, if they'd like to be a liaison. And we're also... we should talk about where the money goes, too, as far as our fundraising dinner. But we also are excited when we have students who want to go on an exchange out of the United States. Right now we have 2 students, one who's in Japan, and we've provided scholarships for them because that's one of the ways we use our money. And we have a student in Spain right now who've come from the Kenai area.
Oh, so you guys handle the other direction as well.
Right, and we're always looking for students who'd like to go, too.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the other thing is that we give every student who does a sport has fees to pay, and we pay for half of all the sports fees for the parents. And then we give approximately $250 to $300 to each host family for the students specifically to use. And the sponsor program students, the guest students come with a little bit, so they have that to use. And so it's that. I think those are the main things. And then we've done a ski trip, which is really fun because some of these kids have never skied before, downhill skiing. They've cross-country skied. But so we do that sometimes. So that's where our money goes. It's used well.
Mm-hmm. What's the budget of the organization?
Nancy?
I don't know. We always seem to have just enough money to do our scholarships and our activities for the students. We never run out of money, but we never have too much money either. So one thing I wanted to add was that Ferris didn't mention that he was on the Kenai football team this fall. And then Zaina's been swimming with the Sohai team and the private swim club. 2 of our students play basketball, and one was doing cross-country skiing, and 2 of them did cheerleading. We encourage the students to do some kind of extracurricular activity because that's where they meet a lot of friends. So we feel that it's important.
Okay. You know, traveling and meeting people from different walks of life and different cultures and different countries is the best way to broaden the mind and achieve world peace. That's my opinion. Maybe it's controversial, I don't know.
So what AFS says, in fact, is AFS USA has been a leader in intercultural education for more than 70 years, working towards a more just and peaceful world by providing learning experiences to individuals, families, schools, and communities through a global volunteer partnership. So, I mean, that is the goal of AFS, is peace.
Wow. I was going to go somewhere with that, but we have another phone call. So, Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Shaylin. This is Penny, and I wanted to call and ask the students a question, if I might.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to ask them, wherever we come from, we have a background that shapes us. And so wherever we go, we take that background, and then we come into contact with people who have a different background. How has their background shaped them to come here, and what have they learned from the kids and the people here that they can take home so two cultures that are very different can have a connection?
All right. Thank you. Zainab, would you like to tackle that one?
It's Zainab, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I,
it's okay.
You know, I'm pronouncing the Y as a separate syllable.
Y?
Wasn't it Z A?
Z E I N A.
Z E Y.
It's okay. So, can you say the question again?
Your background you had before you came here shaped the person that you were. That everything you brought here. What are the experiences that you're learning here going to shape you when you return?
I think when I came here, there's so much stuff I have never known about the world and even about like Alaska, the American culture, and. You know, also sometimes the Middle East and these countries have their own view about the outside world. So I just wanted to come and see by myself, because, you know, not everything said it's true now. So, and I think people here are like, they're like nice, like humans. There are bad people everywhere, but there's nice people everywhere too. And not because we're different, that means, like, they're bad. So, and I learned that, that's kind of a hard question, because I learned a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of goes along with, you know, how is this changing you as a person?
Yeah. Change me like a person? It changed me to, like, trust myself more and to learn. I learned how to, like, be responsible of myself more and to make friends from all over the world.
Talk to boys. Yeah.
Some, not much.
Okay. Ferris?
Okay, so traveling in general, it gives you like wider view of how like everything goes. But the exchange program, like when you go on exchange, like when you meet another culture and you just learn the other culture, you just like have a wider vision like on how everything goes and like your point of view on just like how you see stuff just like gets different. Like you can see from other angles. Yeah, it's not just like you get wider vision, like you can see stuff from different views. That yeah, it's really nice. Like in my personality definitely changed. Like exchange program, you kind of like push yourself, like stuff you're not comfortable with, you kind of like push yourself towards it, like you kind of do it like in purpose. You can, you know, like. Yeah, like you don't have to do like everything that you're comfortable with. Like you have to do stuff that you're not comfortable with, so you can. Yeah,
yeah, that helps you grow, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it does. You will never grow, and you will never learn if you're not in risk.
Very well said. We have another call. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Shaylin, this is Penny, and I just wanted to commend the students. I did ask a very difficult question, but having taught foreign students to speak English many years ago, those students changed my life. And so traveling and being experienced and meeting other people brings our cultures closer together. So I commend these two students for coming here and being involved in school and in activities and meeting people and stepping outside their comfort zone, because it's the kids who make the difference. And so I can't make it to that on the 25th because I will be out of town, but I will definitely connect with the people in charge and either make a donation or something. So thank you very much for having these young people on this show.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for calling, Penny.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Can't think of another thing to ask you guys. I talked about the food, which is, you know, really what I'm interested in, clearly.
I could tell you about the menu that we're
bringing. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
So we start with appetizers. We have kofta that Zaina talked about. Mm-hmm. And then we're having, I won't pronounce it correctly. Ferris, muhammara?
Yes.
Muhammara, mm-hmm. Which is a walnut dip, sort of like a hummus. And with pita bread, that's appetizers. Then we are going to have soups. We have a Norwegian fish soup that's wonderful with cream and salmon in it. We have a carrot soup with cream. It's wonderful from Finland. And we have a lentil soup that Zaina gave us a recipe for. So those are our soups. And you get to choose one of those. And there's extra. You could have more, maybe. Then we go to the salad. The salad is the tabbouleh salad. And then we go to our main dishes, and we're having beef bourguignon. Because we have a French student, and we're having a spinach lasagna because we have two Italian students, and then we're having sides. We're having roasted Brussels sprouts from Germany, and we're having red cabbage from Germany, and then we have breads. We're having a great Finnish bread, and a Norwegian rye bread, and a focaccia from Italy. And then we have desserts from all the countries, all eight countries. Well, sevens that overlap, because the seven will be, we'll have the same dish for both the Italians. But it's wonderful.
Oh, man. That's
all part of the dinner. And you get to for the main dish, you get to either have one or the other, or you can have a little bit of both. So you go away satisfied and very happy.
I bet. Sounds like it. You know, we are just about out of time. Is there any last thing any one of you would like to say? We literally have 1 minute left, but we do have 1 minute.
I think Laura, they need to complete activities.
Wait, who needs to do what
these
now?
These are the sponsored program students, like Ferris and Zaina. They do activities such as experiencing culture. Here we went, for example, to see Native Youth Olympics. A government type of thing, which I believe we're going to be going to a school board meeting next week.
I am and so sorry. I apologize to you two in advance.
It's going to be wonderful. They're going to talk. They're going to introduce themselves. And then also community service is also another part of it.
Oh, terrific. And I'm just kidding about the school board meetings. They are so much fun.
A learning experience.
It's a learning experience.
And all the exchange students, the whole group, all eight of the students and families helped do a cleanup too. A spring cleanup.
Well, terrific. Well, we are, Terry, you look like you have something else to say. Quickly.
All right. Well, I just wanted to go ahead and finish up and say, March 25th, come out to the AFS gourmet dinner. It's going to be fantastic time, and support your local AFS chapter. It's doing great things in your community.
All right. I want to thank everybody who is here from AFS. I'm actually too short of time to read the entire list of names, but we will have them on our website with this whole interview that you guys can tell your friends back home to listen to at kdll.org.